Morning, Tanner.
Morning.
It is a joy to be here with all of you today. I look out and I see a whole bunch of faces that I've been familiar with for 17 years. And I see quite a number of faces that I just don't know you very well yet. I hope that God gives us an opportunity to change that. But I also, I'm very excited and just lots of good possibilities and potential that we've got here. I look and I see Charles and Linda, and I just say, God bless you both. They've done a great job with this church, and God has used them, touched a lot of lives, and he's not through with you guys yet. I'll just tell you that right now. It's good to see my old buddy Corey Calhoun and his much more beautiful wife Jessica here with us today. Corey went with me to India years ago, and he has just recently retired from the Marines, so he's Captain Corey Calhoun, and I'm just thankful that that he and Jessica are here with us today visiting from the Madison area. I just got to tell you, Happy New Year. The new year is a natural time of new beginnings, isn't it? Have you been keeping your New Year's revolutions? That's what that little boy on the TV commercial called it, you know, New Year's revolutions. Well, listen, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I just have to tell you, I cannot tell you how wonderful it feels to be standing back in this pulpit again. And while I'm certainly going to miss working with my teammates at India Missions, I'm very excited at the possibilities we have right here at Tanner. I feel like I'm getting an opportunity to begin again my work with you. And I'm very excited about that. It's all a bit overwhelming. So please be patient with me as I get back in the swing, or some of you old mule skinners, get back in the traces, for those of you that know what that means. I want to begin by apologizing for anything that I may have done or failed to do that has caused anyone any difficulty in all these years. Please believe me when I tell you I never, ever want to cause anyone a problem. And all I ask is a chance to begin again. I also want to apologize for disappointing you. I want to apologize right now for that. It may not have happened yet, but give it a little while. It will, okay? You can count on that. It's going to happen. But I'm going to do my best to serve God and to minister to everyone who has a need that I can possibly fulfill. I want that to be said at the very beginning. So, is it cold enough for you? It's supposed to be feel like -3 in the morning when you go outside, if you're brave enough to go outside. Cold weather. I don't really do that well in cold weather. Winter is, a cold winter can be kind of depressing, especially right after the holidays. We know that. And one reason that winter seems to be such a difficult time is that this is a time when things die or become dormant, little or no growth. And you just want to stay inside, bundled up in a warm blanket with something warm in your hands to eat or to drink. But the good news is that spring is just 2.5 months away, and it'll be here before we know it. In fact, we'll be putting up Christmas decorations again in just a few weeks, it seems, doesn't it? Winter and snow will give way to the buds and flowers of spring, and life will be popping out everywhere, and life will get a new beginning in the spring. A new life. A baby is born. In Toronto, twin girls were born, one of them in 2013, one of them in 2014, just minutes apart. Isn't that something? Those were supposedly the first babies born in North America. They were born in Toronto, Canada. I just think that's kind of neat. 38 seconds after midnight, the second one, Sophia, and I will not even try to pronounce her last name, was born at 5 pounds, 13 ounces. Her older sister, 6 pounds, 16 ounces. A new life. This can be seen in another situation as too. Babies grow up. They choose to do wrong. And that leads to a need. A need for a new beginning, a spiritual birth. Jesus said in John 3:3, "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Last Sunday, this was seen when Danny Dotson baptized Susan McMurray into Christ, just sitting right here, right behind Judy. I'll tell you what, that's a new beginning. That's a new birth. I told you he was famous. That's right. Well, here's the thing about it. We desperately need a new beginning. When we sin, when we are separated from God, we need a resurrection from the dead because we become spiritually dead. And the word resurrection means life is given back. Think about that. That's what it means. Life is given back. In John 5:25, "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Now, how will the dead hear the voice of the Son of God? Well, it's not talking about physical death. It's talking about those that are spiritually dead. That hour is coming and now is. That's when Jesus said it. And it's still true today. When those that will hear the voice of the Son of God, they will listen to what he has to say, they will live. In John 11, 23 beginning, Jesus talking to Martha, he says to her, "Your brother Lazarus, your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "Lord, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe you're the Christ." Well, Tanner, do you believe this? Do you believe that though a person dies spiritually, they will live again because of Jesus Christ? They will have resurrection if they will come to him and obey him. In Ephesians 2 and 1, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And so, we're crucified with Christ when we die to our sins in repentance, and we're buried with Christ by baptism like he was buried in the tomb, and then we are raised up from that watery grave like Christ was raised from the dead. We have a resurrection that takes place when we obey the gospel. But winter time comes for everyone, and even after this spiritual life has been renewed, we all make mistakes, and we all struggle with sin, and we all fall without exception. The beautiful thing is, God is the God of second chances. God is the God of new beginnings. And our God does not give up on us. No matter how many times we fall, no matter how many times we fail, our God does not give up on us. You see, God's mercies are new at the beginning of every day. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. So what does God require of us when we fall? He requires a new beginning, a fresh start. He tells us, repent. In Revelation 2, verse 5 and 6, Jesus says to the church at Ephesus, "Remember therefore from whence you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." I love this statement in Ezra. Ezra 9, verse 5 through 7, "At the evening sacrifice I arose from my fasting, and having torn my garment and my robe, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God and said, Oh my God, I am too ashamed and too humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God. For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our own guilt has grown up to the heavens. This is the attitude of a humble and penitent man. And that's exactly the attitude God wants from us when we know that we have sinned, when we know that we have done wrong. He wants us to be humble, penitent. And I say again, repentance begins on the knees. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. It's easy to tear a piece of cloth, but tear your heart. Open your heart to God. It's easy to do something on the outside. It's easy to make a promise with words. It's easy to say, I will do better. But God says, don't just tear your garment. Tear your heart. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. In Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. God will forgive. Forgiveness doesn't come easy for us at times. You do somebody wrong in such a bad way, you treat them badly long enough or badly enough, they really will have a hard time forgiving. It's true of everyone. There's no exception. People are people. But God is not people. In fact, next Sunday, we're going to be talking about how God is like us and how He's not like us. But God always forgives when we will come to Him with a broken and penitent heart. He always stands ready to forgive. And when He does forgive, when we return to God and He forgives us, then we will enjoy full restoration. Now, what does that mean? Well, to repair or make like new, be it an old piece of furniture or an old house or a 67 Volkswagen. To restore means to make it like new, like it was never damaged in the first place. Psalm 51, 10 through 12, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. David is crying out after he has been made fully aware of the consequences of his sin with Bathsheba, of murdering her husband and other innocent men. And then, of course, the child that was born died, and David is just devastated. This is when he cries out, I had to be born sinful. He didn't mean that as a doctrinal statement. That's not a doctrinal statement. It's a statement of his heart. He says, I'm so bad. I had to be born bad. Just like Paul called himself the chief of sinners. There's no way Danny Paul was the worst man that ever lived. There's no way. So what's Paul saying? He's crying out from the heart. He's talking about how he feels about himself. And that's when David is crying that out. I'm so bad. But God, please be merciful to me. And then, of course, that's what the publican cried out in his prayer on his knees, as he smote upon his chest, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And God does show us mercy and He does restore us. And as we sang in that beautiful, beautiful song, Isaiah 40 verse 31, But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. To wait upon God doesn't simply mean to sit and do nothing. It means to serve the Lord. That's what it really refers to. Serve the Lord. It's not sitting down waiting on some religious experience. I was reading about Sergeant York. Y'all remember Sergeant York? Gary Cooper played that part. It's a true story. Alvin York was a hero from Eastern Tennessee during World War I. And he saved a whole bunch of lives by agreeing to fight in that war. But he had an experience, if we'll call it that. But, you know, he was a member of a denominational group called the Church of Christ of Christian Union. And they believed in some sort of an experience where you go out into the mountains and you sit down and you wait on God. You wait on the Lord. And they took that verse literally to mean wait on God to call you. And so he's out there struggling with whether or not to be a conscientious objector and go and fight in the war because he's been drafted. He has to go. But he's trying to struggle with, do I fight or do I not? And he had this in the movie, of course, he had this experience. Lightning struck and it just let him know, okay, I guess I'm supposed to. I don't know how you come up with that. But nonetheless, the point is, waiting on the Lord is not waiting on God to give you some sign, some religious experience. To wait upon the Lord is to serve the Lord. That's what it means. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The father said to the returning prodigal, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Luke 15:24. That boy decided to go home. He needed a new start. He needed to be restored, and that's exactly what happened. He was restored to his father. And then after restoration comes revival. Now this is what some of you, the older folks will think of when they hear the word revival. Some big tent meeting with somebody up there, you know, preaching up a storm. Billy Sunday was one of these great revival preachers, and He talked about how we're going to beat up the devil. We're just going to beat up the devil. He was a fanatic, really, but he really caused people to think about God. But that's what folks think of when they think about revival, is a big church meeting in a big tent or even in a rented hall or something of this nature. They think of a big old-fashioned revival. Well, that's not exactly what God has in mind. Revival means a return to living the life that we are called to live. That's what revival is. To revive one who is in danger of death. CPR. What do you call that? Zapper? I can't even think of it now. What is that thing called? Medical people. Come on, somebody tell me. Defibrillator. Thank you. That's a revival device. Well, sometimes God has to use a defibrillator on us because we need a good kick. We need something to jolt us, something to wake us up and get us out of the rut, get us out of the monotony. And I know wintertime is tough, but this is a time for God to see His people come back to Him with a renewed zeal, a new beginning, a determination that we're going to do the will of God. Psalm 85, verse 6, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" Colossians 3, 1 and 2, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." We are to be a new man in Christ, a new woman in Christ. Jeremiah 24:7, "Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." Ladies and gentlemen, that is revival. Years ago, a fellow by the name of Richard Cushing wrote the following. Endure this, okay? It's titled, If Only These People Would Change. If all the sleeping folks will wake up, and all the lukewarm folks will fire up, and all the disgruntled folks will sweeten up, and all the discouraged folks will cheer up, and all the depressed folks will look up, and all the estranged folks will make up, and all the gossiping folks will shut up, and all the dry bones will shake up, and all the true soldiers will stand up, and all the church members will pray up, and if the Savior of all will be lifted up, then we can have the greatest renewal this world has ever known. Isn't that powerful? Brethren, revival is a necessity. All who are in Christ have the hope one day of going home. We have a hope that we're not going to be stuck here forever, having to pay taxes and endure all that life throws at us. But we get tired and we want to retire to heaven. We want to be done with this and go home. But we must first leave this life behind. Either by our Lord's return or by enduring death, we will all say goodbye to life on earth. So, remain faithful to the Lord. Serve Him gladly, honestly, sincerely, as He has directed. And you will experience another wonderful resurrection. And that is the resurrection from the dead, to go home and to be with Jesus forever. In John 5, 28 and 29, Jesus said, Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. In John 6, 40, And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you need a Savior? Resurrection to a new life through the second birth is where we all begin. Repentance when we fall. Returning to God to make things right. Restoration comes. That new beginning of the relationship with God. Revival. Getting back to the new life that God has given and living it. And ultimately, the resurrection from the dead. To receive the reward that God has promised. And it all begins right now. Not tonight, not tomorrow. It all starts right now. God calls for us to make a decision immediately when we hear His word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, talk about that. Jesus says, anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. That means to listen, to accept the truth, and to act upon it. That's what that means. To hear. You've heard today. If you've accepted it, if you believe it to be true, do something about it. If you have not experienced the second birth, if you have not been born again of water and the Spirit, if you have not obeyed the gospel, obeyed your Lord's command to come to Him to have life, today is the perfect day for you to decide to become a child of God. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and you will determine to repent, turn away from your sins, confess with your mouth the sweet name of Jesus, that He is the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, God will wash your sins away by the precious blood of Jesus. If you've already done that, but you've allowed yourself to become stagnant, dormant, near death spiritually, You've fallen down. Get up. Get up. God will extend His hand to help you back to your feet. Repent of your sins. Recommit your life to serving God. Pray to God to forgive you. And as you forgive, or as you confess to God your sin, God will forgive your sin. And He will restore you, and He will revive you so that you can look forward to that great resurrection day coming at the end of your life. But right now, we still have to live. We're going to have to live through the winter and through the spring and the summer and the fall and the next winter and the next spring and all the rest of our lives in faithful service to the Lord. And He's going to be with us every step of the way, and He's going to help us every step of the way. Folks, what it's all about is live for Jesus. If there's a way we can help you to do that today without delay, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.